All right, we're talking about the discipline of God. We talked about it last week. And as you remember, we talked about three aspects or three specific purposes for God's discipline. These are important because it's how we grow. God has a plan for every heart and every life. We say that to people all the time. Well, God has a plan for your life. But we very seldom say to them, part of the plan is discipline. But it is. Through discipline, he does a number of things, and three specific things that we talked about last week. First of all, he will punish as a father punishes a child. The idea is not to destroy the child. The idea is not to punish the child and cast the child out of one's family or vision, but rather it is a punishment for correction. And all fathers, the scripture says, punish their children, if they love them, in order to correct them, to keep them on the proper path, to keep them going the right way. So punishment and correction is the first thing that God does through his discipline. Secondly, he does prevention. He is one who believes in preventive medicine. Instead of waiting until you've committed the sin and then dealing with the outpouring of what came from that, he would discipline you ahead of time in order to prevent you from doing that which is wrong, falling into the wrong patterns of life, falling into the wrong way of life. So he will work on you, and he will discipline you to that aspect. Thirdly, he will discipline you to educate. He needs to educate us. And one of the things we learned as we studied this last week was that education from God is about God. What he teaches us is first and foremost about him. What it is that he wants, what it is that he desires, what it is that his heart desires, what his character is like, what his justice is like, all of the aspects of who God is, he will teach us by his Spirit, often through discipline. And then he teaches us about ourselves. It doesn't take him long to show us who we are. Didn't take him long to show Job who he was. God spoke to him and gave him a couple of lectures. It was mostly one-sided speaking. And Job was listening. Job was hearing. And at the end, Job repented in dust and ashes because of his desire to know everything that God was doing and to understand why God was putting on him all this that was going on. God was revealing and educating him to know who God really was. And at the end he said, you know, I heard about you. I knew you by hearing, but now I know you by seeing you face to face. And the depth of his walk with God was changed forever at that point. So we looked at those three aspects of discipline last week. And today we want to look at some more of God's instructions concerning discipline. I have to say that forgetfulness. How many of you are forgetful? How many of you are getting more forgetful every day? All right, that's true, we do. You know, I think every time I talk to different people, what I hear is, well, we lost the car keys. We don't know where the car keys went, or I lost my wallet. Don't know where the wallet is. I know it's in the house somewhere, but I just don't know where it is. Now they even make things that you can hook onto the chain, you know, your keychain, so that you can push a button, it'll jingle for you so you know where it is, or you can go find it. That's because people are forgetful. People are forgetful. And forgetfulness causes a lot of unnecessary problems. It really does. A lot of heartaches come out of forgetfulness. And I'm thinking, you know, to get up one day, to get yourself in order, pick up your keys, your wallet, and what's there, and go out and start the car, and drive to wherever it is you're going to go and do what you're going to do without any interruptions, such as, where's my keys? Where's my wallet? Where was I going? Where have I been? But the whole idea is based on the fact that we forget. And it creates a lot of problems for us. The same is true in the spiritual realm. When we forget what God has done, when we forget His Word, when we forget what He's taught us, we often complain, oh, I thought I've been through this. I thought I learned this once before. Well, we've forgotten it. And God has to remind us again of what He has said, what He has done. So forgetfulness is a problem, and it causes a lot of problems. Now, our greatest need, let's understand this. Our greatest need is not for new light from God. Our greatest need is paying attention to the light we already have. A long time ago, I sat under a pastor who used the illustration of a gentleman sitting at the table. Wonderful, scrumptious food. I mean, and you probably never heard the word scrumptious for a long time, but food. The table was full of food. And he was visiting, he was a pastor, and he was visiting another pastor friend, and it was his mother's home. And this lady, literally, I mean, that table was unbelievable. And we ate, and ate, and ate, and ate. And you would look at the dishes where the food was coming from, and they never seemed to get empty. And the reason was because as fast as we would move food out of a little bowl or whatever, she'd fill it up again. And it always amazed me. I'd never been in a home quite like this. She never sat down to eat with us. She served the whole time. Even though we tried to coerce her to sit down and eat with us, no. She was absolutely there to serve, and she wanted to make sure everybody had plenty to eat. And if she thought you were slowing down, around she would come behind you with a bowl and a big scoop. And she would scoop it up and put it on your plate. Well, today she's in glory. So we've lost out. We did, but the beautiful thing was, when I left that house that day, I was so full, I could hardly walk. And her son, who was my friend, another preacher, same way. I said, "Did your mom always cook like that?" She says, "Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's just family or if it's we bring in friends. It doesn't matter. She does that every day. And she bakes everything. Everything is fresh baked. I know the bread was fresh baked. And that's what she does. That's what she does." And I thought about that. But the image that comes to mind when all of that is, here we are, taking in, taking in, taking in. How long have I been sitting in church? I don't mean how long in hours. I mean how many years? How many years have I sat under pastors and preachers and teachers? How many years have I heard the story again and again and again? How many times has God said to me, "Ken, this is something you need to work on in your life"? How many times has He said to me, "Ken, this is an area that needs to be developed in your life, or this is a way that I want you to walk"? How many times has He indicated what He wanted in my life? And then to realize, as I sat down and analyzed what I knew versus what I do, and I find out that what I do falls a lot short of what I know, that I've forgotten, I've set it aside, I don't remember it, until the moment arises and God has to teach me again. He has to bring it to my remembrance again, and often He will do that through discipline in my life. You see, when I do that, or when you do that, What happens is God's word is neglected or forgotten. Sometimes the answer or help that we need is in a truth that we learned some time ago but have forgotten. And we have failed to pray that the Spirit would keep it fresh in our mind so that we'd never move away from it and that we'd always act upon it at that time. Now, Jews in the New Testament times had forgotten many, many things about the Old Testament. They had forgotten that God had never been pleased by anything apart from faith. They had forgotten that many of his choicest saints had to suffer greatly for their faith. And so now they're complaining because of the negatives coming their direction because of their stance to believe in Christ. And God is reminding them that they had also forgotten the teaching from Proverbs about God's discipline. The words are in Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. And it says this, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves. Even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." Suffering for God's sake is not something new. It was not something new to the Jews in New Testament times. It was not something new to those in the Old Testament times. Suffering for God had been from the beginning. God tested and disciplined again and again and again to keep his people walking with him, teaching them, encouraging them, preventing them, and correcting them. But these New Testament believers had forgotten much of what had taken place in the old days with their grandparents and back. They had forgotten. And so they were upset about their afflictions, partly because they had forgotten God's word. In the Old Testament, God not only spoke to them about suffering and discipline, as we just read in Proverbs, but notice how he addresses the ones to whom he speaks. "My son. You are my son. You are my daughter. It is you that I love. It is you that I discipline to bring closer to myself, to understand what walking with me is all about." So being disciplined was not new. It was that which God used from the very beginning. And they had forgotten this. But they not only had forgotten simply divine truths, one of the things they forgot was this. They had forgotten the exhortation of their Heavenly Father. Now, our fathers on earth get a little upset when we as sons don't remember what they tell us, especially if it's within a disciplining situation. And the father sits us down and says, "Now, son, here's a warning. Here's what you need to understand. Here's what you need to know. This is what you need to be as you grow up in order to be a productive human being." And they instruct us. They tell us. And then when the son forgets, my, how frustrating for the father. Even sometimes many fathers will get angry because the son has forgotten what they said or rejected it or ignored it and went their own way. And we who are parents look at our children and say, "We want the best for you. We want you to be able to walk in a way that pleases God and that your life will be rich and full, and it's our responsibility as your parents, and we want to guide and direct you." Now listen, parents' directions and parents' discipline is not perfect. There are times when you may need to go back to your son or your daughter and say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." But for the most part, You have the interest of the child in mind. And for the most part, you can see more clearly than that child sees. But we must remember the words of our Father. You see, turning to Scripture is listening to God. For Scripture is His Word. It's the Word of our Father. And when we fail to go to it, when we fail to remember it, when we fail to listen to it, we are failing God in the sense that we will walk in the wrong path. Now listen, there are two perils to discipline that I want to look at today. This forgotten exhortation, do not forget. God tells us, do not forget. Well, Hebrews 12:5, which is our verse for the day, says this, and you have forgotten the exhortation. That's the first part of the phrase. You've forgotten. I have to discipline you because you have forgotten. You're not staying in the Word. You're not going to the Word. You're not listening to the Word. You're either rejecting it or you have forgotten it, and so therefore it's not being applied to your life. And so it's important that we remember. All the way through the Old Testament, God keeps telling Israel, remember, 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 remember this, remember that, remember what I did, remember what I did here, remember what I did there. To you and I, He says the same thing. Remember, what did I do for you? What am I doing for you? Now I get a little discouraged when I hear believers, when they get up to testify, all they can testify is about their salvation. Where have you been since? What has happened in your life since? Have you grown from that point? Is God teaching you and speaking to you every day of your life? If so, why are you still dwelling back there? It's good to praise God for that, but there should be so much more. What did He say to you yesterday? Think about it. What did He show you yesterday? How did He help you yesterday? Not a week ago, yesterday. We need to be current with God. And to be current with God is to be in His Word, listening to His Word, letting Him direct us, letting Him correct us, letting Him discipline us, letting Him do what He desires to do. Now, with the idea of remembering, then He says this, son, my son, Hebrews 12:5, second part, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. That's the first peril, that I will disregard whatever's going on in my life and lightly and just set it aside and not really let it touch me because that's not a priority in my life. So I'm looking at it as a very light thing in my life. And God says, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. The first thing that can keep God from accomplishing what He wants in our life is to regard lightly His discipline. He cannot get through to us then to do what He wants to do, to teach us what He wants to teach us. You see, if we do not understand our problems as being discipline that God uses in our life for our good, then we cannot profit from them as He intends for us to profit. We won't learn anything. We won't see anything. We won't hear anything. He wants us to look at the struggles we're in every day. And I don't care if they are spiritual struggles, or if they are emotional struggles, or whether they are physical struggles. They are used of God, who turns ashes into beauty. And He will teach you something. He will guide you somewhere. He will instruct you. He will correct you through those things. But if you just lightly blow it off, then you quench what His Spirit wants to do in your life. And what happens is, when we don't take that seriously, then our focus is changed from God onto the event, the things, or the people. And we miss the message of hope, life, and encouragement that comes from God through that thing in our lives. Now, we may also treat God's discipline lightly by complaining. Anybody here a complainer? I am. So are you. I know you are. You're no different than I am. You just don't want to put your hand up. We are. As much as we love Him, as much as we want to walk with Him, as much as we get in His Word, as much as we see what's going on in our life, we have a tendency to complain. Why me? That's a big one. Why did this have to happen to me? Why not somebody else? Not thinking about somebody else who might have to go through it if you weren't. Why me? Well, the answer is God. That's why you. God has a plan for your life. That's part of His plan. It's part of making you into the person He created you to be and that He saved to be. So we cannot complain it away. In this case, we do not forget God. In fact, our attention is on Him, but in the wrong way. Instead of showing patient endurance like the hero saints of the past, well, we do not accuse God of anything wrong, at least not in so many words. But what we're saying is, God, You made a mistake. I'm not the one that should be going through this. Wasn't that what Job? God, why this? Why me? I didn't do anything wrong. Listen, you don't have to do anything wrong for God to discipline you. All you have to be is who you are. And He disciplines you because He loves you. And He puts things in your life that are hard because it teaches you and it encourages you and it advances you in His kingdom and in your walk with Him. Now, we can become callous to God and His Word so that when He's doing something for us, we do not recognize His hand in it at all. And when we're callous, God's discipline will harden us instead of soften us. It'll make us complain even more. Rebel toward it even more. You know, we may also treat God's discipline lightly by the aspect of pushing it off on somebody else. Well, that isn't redefining what God has said to you. I remember a number of years ago, I really felt God was telling me to do something, and I was questioning it. And when I began to question it, what happened is, it opened the door for other people to come in and give me suggestions about what God was doing. And I remember this one phrase kind of kept coming up over and over again. And I would state what I felt God was saying to me. And some of them were bold enough to say this statement, "That's not really what that means. That's not really what that means." But He gave me this scripture, and this is what it says. Well, that's not really what that means. You need to take another look at it. And I would take another look at it, and it still sounded the same to me. But they were telling me I needed to readjust what I believe that it means. You'd be surprised how many times that advice is given, especially to young Christians who are trying to learn and walk with God, and older Christians who've kind of slipped a little, and they just, "Oh, don't worry about that. That's not what God means." It always reminds me of what Satan said in the garden. When Eve said, "God said," and he said, "Oh, no, no. He didn't mean that." Now, it's sad when other people are used in our lives that way, but it's more sad if we accept it. It's worse if we accept it and change the direction instead of going back to God for clarity. which is what we need to do. Now listen, complaining to God usually amounts to believing he's doing something not quite right, as if we have a better plan. Arthur Pink writes these words, "Remind yourself of how much dross there is yet among the gold, and view the corruption of your own heart, and marvel that God has not smitten you more severely. Form the habit of heeding his taps." You know, he's tapping you on the shoulder, telling you something through his word. "Form the habit of heeding his taps, and you will be less likely to receive his raps." But that was pretty good. We can prevent God from accomplishing his desired result through discipline by complaining and by questioning. And like complaining and questioning, often shows a very clear lack of faith. We're still trying to get it in order. When a child asks his parents why, as soon as I thought about that statement and wrote it down, I thought of my own children. And I have one here today. And I have grandchildren here today. And that's always wonderful. But here's the thing. You know, when children are growing up and they're in their teen years, this question becomes very prevalent with them. You ask them to do something and they say, why? Now, are they actually asking for an answer? Or what are they asking for? Are they asking you to sit down and say, okay, here's 10 reasons why? No. They're questioning you because they think that what you're doing is not quite right. Not quite right. They're not looking for a long explanation with all the facts. They're simply saying, I don't agree with your decision, and I'm questioning you as to whether this is right or not. Now, how you handle it is important. When we have a heart that begins to make that kind of questioning to God, it's the beginning in our heart of showing us, helping us understand that our faith isn't quite as strong as we thought maybe it was. That there is area for work yet by the Spirit of God to teach us that what God brings into our life as his children, what God brings into our life as his creation, is totally up to God. And we can accept it and learn and be blessed through it, or we can question it and complain about it. And basically what it does is it begins to harden us toward him. Now, is it wrong then to get on your knees and pray, God, show me why this is happening? No, it is not. But I have to be willing to accept his answer when he says no, or not now, maybe later, when in myself I'm wanting it now. I want that answer now. The ability to trust God with our lives from the beginning, from the time we're born till the time we die, as soon as we're able to understand who God is and that we are his children, that we have been created by him, from that time till now, he is working, disciplining, checking us out. But two things are happening. One, I'm forgetting what he has already told me and taught me the years. The second thing, which I don't have time to develop today, is don't faint when you're reproved by him. Very short one there. Just don't give up. Don't give it up. Don't throw your hands up and say, I don't understand. I don't know what God's doing, so I guess I just won't walk with him anymore. There are people who do that. Don't faint. We can either forget what he has taught us, or we can faint at the test itself. And both of those are a detriment to what God wants done in our lives.